From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Angry Admins Podcast. It is July 22nd, 2008, and this is episode 76. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
What up, fools?
Joe Bibby.
We're back after another hiatus.
Yes.
So let's dive right into the news du jour. And we might go back a few days to grab some stories that we missed while we were out last week. But Joe, why don't you get us started with some stuff?
Well, why don't we start out with some Xbox news. For the homebrew Xbox developers out there, if you are a part of the XNA Developers Club, very soon you will be able to sell your games on the new Xbox Home Revenue something. I don't know. So if you remember, like a month or two ago.
Right, I remember the
announcement. I rambled on and on about this XNA thing. I was like, I'm going to go home and try it out. And then I realized you have to pay $100 to download other people's games.
Right.
And then I was sad. But they're going to actually roll out this. It's called Xbox Live Community Games. And later this year, you'll be able to sell games on the Xbox Live Community Games on the marketplace, starting at $2.50 up to $10. Pretty cool, you know. It's not clear whether there'll be a way to just try out a game.
Right.
I'm not sure I would want to drop some money on something. You know, maybe there'll be some good review sites out there that we'll be able to catch, but I think it's a good idea. We'll see if it works in practice. They are going to take some of the revenue. Mm-hmm. 30% goes to Microsoft, which sounds very similar to the App Store model for the iPhone. And if they promote you to the front page, they can take an additional up to 30% for a total of 60% of the revenue. So, I mean, some of that's kind of fair. I mean, if your game is good and they promote you, you're going to get a lot more downloads and a lot more pays. But hopefully there won't be a lot of junk. It sounds like they're not going to filter it very much. So the problem with no filter is you get a lot of...
You get everything.
You get everything. You know, eventually the good stuff flows to the top, but... The crud floats first.
Right. Wow.
So
if you're a sysadmin, hopefully your crud is floating to the top, because Goldman Sachs did a study. They did a survey of the CIOs for some of the top IT companies in the U.S. And they're asking, you know, hey, 2009, what are your plans? And a lot of the companies said they're going to be kind of scaling back some IT. So the basic finding is that there's going to be fewer IT jobs in 2009. And the first places they said they're going to kind of scale back was on sort of the discretionary projects. Mm-hmm. You know, like if there were some optional things that they were thinking about before, they probably are no longer on the table. Also, a lot of the contract work, they said they were going to scale back on contract stuff and some of the outsourced stuff. So it looks like it's going to be... if you work in-house, you're probably okay. You know, if you're... So the worst case scenario is you're an overseas contractor working on a discretionary project.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded like the overseas stuff was going to get cut first.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like we hear about this kind of stuff about every year. But then, like, a few months later, it's like they're like, oh no, we were wrong. People are spending more on IT, and
you always have the number of. There's always this demand because there's not enough IT workers out there,
right?
But I don't know. They also mentioned consultants were getting kind of scaled back, and that you know, there's been all the talk about cloud computing over the last year,
right?
But they said, well, now they're not going to be spending the money to implement cloud computing.
Yeah. So what a shock.
It's just one of those things.
It's amazing. You mean they're not going to move to a server-based model?
I don't know.
Again?
Yeah.
That's shocking to me.
I think they're just going to wait and talk about the next catchphrase, and they might implement that catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we are seeing some, quote, cloud computing being implemented, but even if that did happen, that wouldn't affect IT employees. We would just move to a different building and support the same servers, maybe just more of them.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, cloud computing, it's not going to happen.
All I know is tech's not getting easier, users aren't getting smarter, therefore, I'm not sweating it.
Right. Well, and, you know, the big pointer is Microsoft is getting into cloud computing, so it's definitely not going to happen.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, so this phone came out a few weeks ago.
Right.
And I did buy one. Not going to talk about the phone, but I did hack my phone yesterday, actually, for the first time.
Cool.
The using the Pwnage 2.0, and we'll have a link to this in the show notes, but overall, it was a pretty easy experience. My reasons for doing it, one, I just wanted to be able to get to a terminal on my phone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a Unix, but it's essentially BSD as well, so I wanted to be able to take advantage of that, and so I did. I got into a terminal. I got a terminal installed, and you know, you can get other stuff like an NES emulator and some stuff that kind of lets you tweak the interface a little bit. You know, change the carrier from AT&T to whatever you want it to be called.
Right.
Kind of little fun stuff like that. But mostly, I wanted it for the terminal. And I've actually used it a couple times already. Not because I needed to, just to try it out, and it was pretty usable. It's a little crashy still, the terminal is. Apparently they're having to recode a lot of the stuff for the new 2.0 firmware, or 2.0 OS.
Right.
But overall, it was an easy experience. You know, it's comes down to pretty much, you know, the tool, once that came out, it's just click a few buttons, restore it using this new firmware, and you're good to go. Pretty painless. I did have a small issue where the first guide I followed said to check the activate the phone button, but that makes you not have any service because it's trying to reactivate an already activated phone.
Ooh.
So everybody else I looked at said don't do that ever.
Right.
So I started over, unchecked that box, and then I was fine.
Nice.
So pretty cool. Lets you know, just kind of dive in and really get your fingers in. And now I can actually SSH from my phone and into my phone and transfer data to and from it, which it's nice to be able to just have control over it if I so choose.
Don't know
if I'll keep it. If an SSH app came out through the App Store, I probably would dump it and go back to standard. But
nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's I was looking over at the Wired blog, and Wired had a story a couple days ago about the malware spammers. You know, you get the emails with the link, and people click it, and, you know, you get bad stuff. But apparently now the new trend is they're using more funny stuff to try to lure people in.
Okay.
And it's not just like, haha, here's a joke. It's the kind of satirical stuff, kind of the little more highbrow, the Onion style of humor.
Okay.
So it apparently they've kind of caught on that's a good catch for people. And maybe even grabbing some folks that normally wouldn't click stuff, or
right,
like, oh, well, if this is that kind of humor, it's maybe okay. But so anyway, we'll have a link to that story in the show notes, but I thought that was interesting that, you know, now they're targeting that flavor of humor to try to bring people into the clicking spyware.
Well, they've already got all the idiots, so now they have to try to get some of
us.
Yeah, you know, it just comes down to social engineering in the end. That's really what it takes to get people in, because the days of the worm, in my opinion, are over. I mean, there is no more, you know, it could happen again, but it's pretty unlikely that we'll see another self-spreading virus. You know, anymore it's coming in through the browser, and you have to go to a site to get hacked.
I hope those days aren't over, though.
Why?
Because those were, like, the most fun days. You know, when you walk into a computer lab and you just see, like, an ocean of blue screens. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to contain the outbreak. You know, you feel like you're in a Dustin Hoffman movie, you know, where you've got the suit on and you're trying to head off the...
Yeah, I'm not.
The virus.
I'm not excited about that. I don't want to have to worry about if I plug this XP machine in before I patch it, it's going to get a virus in 5 minutes.
We need that. We need that every once in a while to keep IT salaries up and to keep our staffing levels good.
I think there's plenty of other things breaking. We don't need a fast spreading worm spreading through our network, breaking all everything.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I have no love lost for those days.
I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool. It's like, oh man, there's a worm.
Well, if you want, just turn off all your firewalls and you can have it back.
If I search for, like, Sasser, can I download it somewhere? Yeah. Mm. So, speaking of quickly spreading software that people don't want, Microsoft Vista. So some sales numbers came out. What was this on? This was on Engadget.
Yeah.
A few days back, they talked about the numbers of Vista licenses that have been sold, and apparently, the rough estimates are that Microsoft had brought in $60 billion, and that was just for the last fiscal year, and that since launch they have pushed 180 million Vista licenses.
That's a lot.
Yeah, but you know, there's that caveat in there of the thing where they buy the Vista, but then they're just installing the XP.
Right, that's true. I wonder how many of those they've sold. Yeah. Like the downgrade, I wonder if they even record that.
Yeah, it'd probably be hard to find that number. But so I don't know. I mean, they have sold a lot of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, have you heard about the new Vista ad campaign? They're trying to kind of respond to the Mac versus PC thing, and I've only seen a little bit about it, but so here's some stuff. The title of these is, at one point everyone thought the Earth was flat, and it shows like a pirate ship sailing in the sea, and then like one of the subtitles, I don't know if these are real, but underneath it says, back then being a pirate was cool, being a pirate is still cool, go Windows Vista. I think that one's been edited slightly.
Yeah, that's many mixed messages. I'm not even gonna right. go there.
Here's the actual ad. This stuff has been added on the bottom, but it's they're just kind of going for debunk the Vista myths. $300 million they're spending on this advertising campaign, which I think is more than they've spent on advertising in a long time.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. Definitely their previous Vista ads were pretty awful. You know, the wow starts now. I've definitely had my share of poking fun at that stuff.
Well, that ad makes me like, so they're advocating software piracy?
Yeah, I think the subtitle was added at this site. So, yeah.
Wow.
I think the pirate flag maybe was added too. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, it can't be worse than the WoW starts now. And then what was the Zune one we made fun of all the time?
Welcome to the social.
Welcome to the social. Yes.
How could you forget that, man? That
was there's a guy in our lab who has a Zune. He's a co-op, and he hasn't met another Zune user yet.
So he can't share his.
So music? He's socializing with himself.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think I've met him and then like one other guy I know has a Zune.
Is it the Pooh Brown Zune?
I didn't even see his. I think he was too ashamed to show it to me.
Wow.
The other guy I know, his was like the grayish color. So
gray and brown.
Yeah.
The colors of fun.
Yeah. I don't know.
So what was this thing on the? The HP.
Okay, so this was pretty good. If you follow me on Twitter, you've seen this. This was on the Register, .co.uk, and the title of the story is HP Shatters Excessive Packaging World Record. And you look at this, the first picture is this gigantic box. Not gigantic, but it's pretty big. It looks like it could hold a full desktop or a server or something, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or a couple of microwaves or
something. Yeah. And so these people, they get this, and they're like excited about getting this box because they think, oh, maybe I got some new hardware. So they start opening it, and apparently the big box contains 16 smaller boxes, which each wrapped in foam inside the box were two sheets of A4 paper. So 17 boxes in total to protect 32 sheets of paper.
Right. A box as big as a refrigerator. To protect something the size of a laptop that's made out of paper.
Yes. That could be mailed in an envelope.
Wow. Yeah, we're definitely going to have a link to that because you have to see it.
You have to see it to totally grasp it. I mean, what's funny, too, is the box is, like, all torn up and there's tape all over it. And, I mean, it just looks like it was been through a grinder. So apparently they needed to protect it because... apparently they run around just grinding up their boxes.
They got
before
some
they
rough shipping
out.
Over there.
Yeah, they do. I don't know.
This isn't as good as my old favorite story about the guy who received the Xbox.
That still makes me laugh.
Wrapped in the dirty sweatpants.
Do you still have a link to that?
Yeah, it's in my dig history. Well, I might throw a link up to that.
We should do that.
Just for old time's sake.
Because that is just the best one ever. Because they're not just dirty. They're stained, nasty sweatpants.
Wow. I think everything should be shipped in that. Dirty clothes.
Yeah. eBay. Have you bought anything from eBay in the last 6 years? I mean.
Yeah, I bought some seatbelt pads.
Yeah.
For your car from China, and the seatbelt pads were $1 for two of them, and the shipping was $22 from mainland China.
Nice. Yeah, I've kind of given up on eBay. There's no good prices there anymore, and you keep hearing about more people getting ripped off. In fact, I'm thinking about canceling my PayPal account because Leo Laporte was talking about how he got ripped off because he used his PayPal account, which means it was linked to his bank account, which is how mine is, because that's the way they get the fastest transfer.
Yep.
But that means it's not backed by a credit card.
Yes.
Which means there's no protection.
Yeah.
And eBay and PayPal only protects you up to like $200. Yeah, which I don't think I've spent more than $100 on something on eBay.
Yeah, there is so much fine print that says, we don't care if you get ripped off.
Right.
Pretty much. We're not going to do anything.
So,
buyer beware, blah, blah, blah.
I mean, everybody's taking credit cards now through their own.
And there's so many people gaming the system that like buy things from each other to pump up their ratings.
Yep. It's, I don't know. And there's so many other deal sites now. I mean, buy.com, Tiger Direct, all those, Newegg, you know, where they're running daily specials that are half the price of the stuff going on eBay. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't have any need for it anymore.
Just check Woot.com every day.
Seriously.
And eventually they'll sell what you want.
Do you see that printer they had on there? They have the printer I have in our lab. It's like a full-sized fax scanner combo that retails for over $300, and it was only like $79.
Wow.
So that's pretty sweet.
That's something.
I got my Roomba off of Woot. Still love my Roomba.
Nice.
Keeps eating my cords, though. Damn thing.
So what's this thing on the 3D movies?
Okay, 3D movies. Yeah, moving on. Sorry, I got sidetracked there a little bit. 3D movies. So, you know, every couple of years, some old technology comes back, like cloud computing, and tries to... And everybody's like, oh, it's coming back. It's going to be there this time. And to me, 3D movies fits in with, like, Linux on the desktop and... what was the other thing you mentioned?
Oh, like before the show? Citywide Wi-Fi. Oh, yeah,
municipal Wi-Fi. That's in that category, too.
Flying cars.
It's just not going to happen. But apparently the movie industry disagrees with me. And I'm hearing a lot of buzz about 3D movies lately. But their movie industry is eyeing 3D movies for home theater. So they're imagining your home theater would have 3D technology, you know, using your Blu-ray player. And, you know, from what I can tell, you still have to wear the stupid glasses.
Great.
Which is the failure there. And it never really looks right. I mean, it looks 3D, but it's kind of like super depth 3D where things are farther away from each other than they should be, but it's all just flat planes on top of flat planes.
Yeah, I can't. So I remember the last 3D thing I saw was some IMAX, and I remember not being wowed by it.
Yeah,
like it, I don't know,
like, yeah, you know, when I was 12 years old and I went to Epcot Center and I watched Michael Jackson in his space movie in 3D,
Captain EO,
that was awesome, you know.
It was awesome.
The meteorite like floated right in front of your face and exploded and you're like, whoa, and then I reached puberty and it was no longer exciting. Nope. I just don't, this is not ever gonna be real, you know. It's gonna have to be like true 3D. I mean, we're talking holodeck 3D. You know, that's the only way this is ever going to be practical or anything that I care about.
Well, if they ever do... So, you know, one of the things that's been holding up VR is the cost of the head-mounted displays.
Right.
You know, and I mean, if they ever get that down to either $100 or $200, where you can have actually two separate LCDs, one for each eye, completely separate, to, like, totally fake out your mind, then we may have something to talk about, but...
Yeah.
I mean, home theaters still is such a small percentage of the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I do want the movies to care about home theater because I want them to realize I don't want to go to your big expensive theater anymore and listen to cell phones and babies. And, you know, I've had that rant. But
Oh, feel free to continue. I mean, that's I enjoy that one. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, but so I mean, I think eventually one day, you know, we'll all have some sort of a quote unquote home theater. But yeah, I don't know if 3D is gonna be that thing.
I just don't see it. I don't see it as something people really care about. It's a gimmick that in the end just gets annoying. You start getting a headache, and I'm not even sure VR really is gonna take off because. I mean, we're social beings, so unless they can integrate the social interaction in it, which I guess they could. I mean, they're doing that with. I said I wasn't going to talk about it this week, but the Netflix streaming on the 360 that they're adding, mm-hmm. they're making that kind of a social element because you can actually sync it up with someone else watching it over live. So like, you could be sitting here, I could be sitting at my house, and we could watch the same movie at the same time, and then like be connected via voice chat. And be like watching the same movie, but you know.
So here's the thing. I don't like to talk during a movie.
Exactly. In fact, it's annoying when yeah. somebody talks during a movie.
So it's like you're on your couch across town. I'm like, hey, you want a beer? Because if you do, get your ass up and go get one. Right. Because you're in your own house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, and maybe it's just because I'm reaching an older age, but. If I'm having people over for movies, it's not because I want them to talk. It's just kind of, you talk maybe after the movie, and you're like making good food, and you're hanging out beforehand, and then you watch it, and then you don't talk during.
Right.
And then you maybe discuss it afterwards, and then you exit.
Or you're watching a movie that everyone's seen 1,000 times.
Right, and so you're doing okay. something else.
It's like, okay to talk.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a Big Lebowski or something
right.
like that.
Right, yeah. But I'm not going to want to do that with a headset on.
That's bizarre. That's I don't know.
Maybe we're just too old for this stuff now.
Maybe we don't get it.
It's possible. I was just arguing with some people over email about Twitter because they were saying it was stupid and you can have too much communication. And I was like, you're stupid. That was about my argument.
Yeah, but pretty good. That's almost like the young person's view.
Right.
You know, I'm the one who's out in my front yard saying, you kids get off my lawn.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. All this stuff is just gimmicky to me. You know, I like streaming video. I want streaming video to work. I mean, you had an experience this week where you tried to watch a movie, right? But you couldn't find it on streaming. You couldn't get it on demand, even though you wanted to. It's mm-hmm. like you were ready to pay the price, but no one would offer it.
And even the illegal places didn't.
Right.
Have it. So yeah. Everyone failed.
Right.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap up the show for this week. If you want to check out links to any of the cool stuff we talked about, feel free to stop by angryadmins.com. We will have links to the stuff in the show notes. You can also email us at feedback@angryadmins.com. If you want to follow Joe on Twitter during the week, his Twitter address is...
Twitter.com/bibz, B-I-B-Z.
Yeah. So until next week, you guys stay cool. I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.